Turn to Daniel. The book of Daniel, Old Testament. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. You find Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. We're going to look at one verse at Daniel chapter 1, and then we're going to turn to Daniel chapter 6, and we're going to stay there. Very familiar story. By the way, if anybody lost a pair of silver-rimmed glasses, I have a set of silver-rimmed glasses been floating around here, and they're not just for the good looks, they actually work. So if you're missing a pair of glasses, you let me know here. In fact, I'll tell you the truth, I'm going to give it to the reception desk from here on out and let them put that in the lost and found, but you're missing that. Daniel chapter 1, and most of you know the story of Daniel, part of the first of the captivities, the captives led away to Babylon. There was actually kind of three parts. There was an early one, a main one, and some more there. Daniel was a young man. Chances are his parents were probably killed. Chances are he saw a lot of sorrow. They took him into Babylon, and they saw some good things in certain ones, and they were going to use him, instruct him, and teach him how to be of value to Babylon. Now, when you get in the middle of all that, there's a lot of things you get involved in, and things speak to your heart, and things may drag you in the wrong direction. But we have a very famous verse in Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8. But it said, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. That was the main point. He didn't want to defile himself. The Bible talks about in Revelation 21, it says that nothing can enter heaven that would defile it. Makes it dirty or impure. He said he did not want to defile himself. Now, the fact is, you said, well, it's talked about the king's meat. I know, but if he doesn't want to defile himself, the king's meat, think about all the other things he's not going to want to defile himself about. The purpose was, really what they're saying is, he wouldn't even eat what they gave him because he didn't want to defile himself. He had a purpose in his heart. He purposed in his heart. I've said it so long. He lived on purpose. He didn't live according to the way the wind blew. He wasn't a politician. He purposed in his heart how he should go. Now, there's some story. Of course, you know the story of the three children of Israel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace and all that. Well, we come to Daniel chapter 6, and we're already at the third ruler. We had Nebuchadnezzar. We had Belshazzar. And that with the writing on the wall and all that. Okay, and then we have Darius here. And it says in verse number 1 of chapter 6 of Daniel, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. Now remember, by this time, they had engulfed a lot of landmass in their kingdom. And he said, you know, you can't control everything by yourself. So he said, I'm going to set up 120 princes. I'm going to put them over different provinces, if you will, in the kingdom. Verse 2, and over these 120 princes, three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. Now, this has been a little while. Daniel's getting pretty old by this time. But he had proven himself very faithful and trustworthy. And Darius says Daniel would make a good man to be overseer over these three presidents who are overseeing the 120 provinces, the princes of the provinces. Now, it says that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Now, watch verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes. Darius, just like Daniel, he was faithful. By the way, I've taught my kids this over the years. It's not that hard to be the cream of the crop these days. You know what? There's not one Christian who should be at work that's got an attitude. Shouldn't have to be told twice what to do. Should be the hardest working folks there on the place. Should be the Christians. Not out trying to, listen, as long as that person, that your boss is not telling you to do something illegal, immoral, or unbiblical, you do it with your whole heart as unto the Lord. That's the truth. And if you're having to do a lot of stuff that's wrong, well, then you need to get another job. You need to go someplace else. Now, watch verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him. Had a good attitude, and the Lord was blessing him, giving him understanding and wisdom. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Well, word got out, verse 4. Then the presidents, the other two, and the princes, 120, sought to find some occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They didn't like the guy. They didn't like the fact this Jew, I'm going to be dealing with, this Jew was now over them. He was their boss. They didn't like that. Didn't like it at all. But they could find no occasion nor fault. Now there's a testimony. Can't find a thing wrong with him. For as much as he was faithful, listen, stewards are to be found faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel. There's no way in the world we're going to get him knocked out of place because there's nothing to say about him. Boy, I wish that was the case in our choice of presidents these days. Wow. We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So we have to outlaw the law of God to make sure that he breaks the law. Because he's not going to break the law of God, so we've got to make the law of God illegal. Because we know he's going to do it. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and thus said to him, King Darius, live forever. And then it goes on to verse 7, all the presidents of the kingdom, liar, 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 Daniel wasn't there, so all the presidents weren't there. And so they talk about how they're going to make a decree that no one can bow or pray to anyone for 30 days except the king. In other words, government was to be their god. Now, we've been talking about some things here the last few weeks, and in my daily devotions, I came across this, and I know it's a familiar passage, but I think I'm trying to put a nail in this thing here for us. We can talk about allowing God to be our God, and it's real nice, but we need to nail this thing down. We need to see how far we really got to go with that. We got to go all the way with it. So let's pray. I had two titles. I wasn't sure which one to give you. One was practicing the formula. You know what I'm talking about. Or claiming the guarantee. I like claiming the guarantee. We'll see. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, for the truths that are in it. Now, Lord, we've been talking about these things for some time. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to solidify some things in our heart. It's one thing to know the principles. It's one thing to believe it in our head. Lord, it was another thing to with our heart to believe. Lord, I believe not only with the heart we believe unto spiritual salvation, but I think with the heart we believe unto physical salvation, if you will, to see us through this life. We've got to trust you with our heart. So, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us here this morning. Again, Lord, maybe there's someone here who doesn't know Christ. Pray that you'll speak to their heart on that matter. Maybe some folks here are kind of flinching back on following you and your will, because it looks like it's going to bring trouble and trials. Lord, I pray that you'll encourage their heart. Lord, you told old Joshua, be strong and of a good courage, that you keep the word of God. Keep the law of the Lord. Be strong and of a good courage. And sometimes it takes strength, it takes courage, it takes faith for us to just simply walk by your word. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us. We ask for your Holy Spirit to move, and we ask in Christ's name, amen. Help me out. Joshua 1:8 is where we started. This book of the shall not out of thy. That means we're going to talk about it, think about it, mutter it back to ourselves all the time, 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 all the time. It's the word of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt therein Oh, that's a long time. All the time. Day and night. Day and night. It's what you bring. You wake up thinking, I'm going to walk with God today. God's going to walk with me today. Because I'm walking with him, he'll walk with me. And in the night, sometimes it gets dark. The book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. Boy, now wait a minute, you're getting pushy. You're starting to intrude into my life here now. You're telling me I actually got to do this. I mean, listen, if just thinking about a woman is sin, I don't have to actually do it. Well, can't I just think about righteousness and call it righteousness? Doesn't work that way. Can't I just think about God and he'll be happy? No. No more happy than if you just think about your wife, but you never even talk to her. He doesn't bring me roses. He doesn't sing me love songs. No, she doesn't want you to just think about her. She wants you to do something about it. This book of law shall not depart out of their mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to that's written therein. Into what? The law of the Lord. For then thou shalt make thy way, and then thou shalt have. Okay, now we've been in a series of messages that began with those thoughts. I called it hope for success. We gave you that formula. And the formula came. He said, listen, in Joshua 1, it says, be strong and of a good courage. Because it's hard. He says, you're going to fight battles. But he didn't say, be strong and of a good courage and make sure your sword is sharp. And when he comes, close your eyes and stick him. He didn't say that. So be strong and of a good courage that you do what I tell you to do. And the first thing they need to do is go in and walk around the wall of Jericho. Well, this is stupid. Yeah, this is going to work. He said, no. Be strong and of a good courage. What if they pour boiling oil down off the wall there and kill us? And you want my kids out there. You want my wife and my kids to walk. Listen, this just is, what if they come barreling out of the wall there and kill a bunch of us? We're sitting ducks. We don't have any tools of war. What are we going to do? He says, be strong and of a good courage. Obey me, even if it looks like it's going to kill you. God gives principles in his word. But God also gives examples of those principles. These accounts that we're talking about here are not fairy tales. These are records of actual events when God supernaturally intervened in the lives of men to show his greatness and his power. He said, well, we don't see these things very often. Well, how many folks are willing to go this far in their faith? How many people go so far and then they back up? If they hadn't gone out to Jericho and did what they walked around that wall every day for 7 days, and then seven times that last day, they would have never seen the wall fall. And they would say, well, God didn't help us out a bit. Did you claim the guarantee? You didn't grab it. There are many things we can learn from our passage here this morning, but I want to see some things this morning. And I know we've seen this, but I want you to see it. See, this. Listen, we can talk theory all we want, but when it comes to practice, it's a whole different ballgame. And we're not facing a lion's den. We're facing maybe a little criticism. We might be facing the loss of a few hundred dollars or something. We might be facing the loss of a friendship. We haven't resisted yet unto blood. Now we might have to one of these days, and we better be ready. But we want to see some things. What happened here? Jesus, Lord, is telling us in this passage that we need to decide to do the Decalogue, the law of God, distinctly, that we may do well. You've heard this, right? You've heard this. Now let's put it into practice here. Number one, first thing I want you to see is Daniel observed to do according to all that was written in the law. Daniel observed to do. He practiced that passage of Joshua 1:8. He practiced it. First thing, Daniel decided. Daniel lived on purpose and with purpose. That first verse we have in Daniel 1:8. He said he purposed in his heart not to defile himself, not to let one little iota of dirt get on him, not let one little thing slide in his life that God didn't like. Now, I know we're not perfect. He wasn't perfect. But the fact is, when something does slide in there, you don't say, well, let it go. What are you going to do? No, it's still dirt. So what do you do? You confess your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, no longer defiled. What sins are you talking about? They're gone. Yes, your sin will get the best of you sometimes. But the fact is, when you see it, get rid of it. Confess it, forsake it, and you shall prosper. That's what it says in Proverbs 28:13. So you're going to mess up. And the fact is, you say, well, I should be above that by now. The older we get and the more mature we become in the Word of God, the more we see our faults. Things that we didn't even know about. The fact is, there's some things your kids have done that you didn't yell at your one-year-old for messing in their pants. Now, you've got a 10-year-old, you're going on a different story here. Right? God's the same way. He's merciful. You're not more merciful than God. And when you're first saved, there's a lot of things that God says, well, you know, who are you? He's still growing. Give him time. By the way, we need to practice that amongst our own people. There, you know what? There, you say, well, I got that all worked out a long time ago. Yeah, but you were working, but he was working on something else. And you were working, you know, listen, don't beat up each other. Don't compare yourselves with one another. That's not wise. So he says, we need to do what we need to do. Daniel said, I'm not going to defile myself with the things of this world. He lived on purpose. Listen, if he ate with purpose, how much more do you think he lived other aspects of his life on purpose? Daniel decided to do. You got to decide to do. Do not live and where it happened. Well, we'll see what happens when we get there. That's the way the world says it. It's not going to work well that way. You got to decide to do. If you don't listen, the Christian life is going upstream. If you just decide, well, let's see where it goes, you're going downstream. If you don't purpose in your heart not to be defiled, to keep the clean, you're going to be defiled. It's like going out. Watch. If it's raining and you don't purpose in your heart to not get wet, you're going to get wet. Nobody's fault. It's just part of the world. You put a raincoat on. You put some galoshes on. You get an umbrella. You do something. Daniel, watch. Daniel didn't just go with the flow. Daniel didn't just do what everyone else was doing so as not to cause a stir. But watch this. Daniel didn't seek to cause a stir. But living for God may cause a stir, and we need to be willing to accept that. Not out there to prove a point. Well, we are righteous. We do this, we do that. Well, if you haven't done this, well, you're not fundamentalist. Wait a minute, is it in the book? If it's in the book, then we stick to it. If it's not in the book and you can't get a good principle about it, leave it alone. You know, don't sit there and bicker about it. But you stand on the Word of God. Listen, you just name the name of Jesus and say he's the Savior because he is God. That'll get enough folks stirred up right there. And you don't even have to say it like that. What do you mean? Well, I believe Jesus is God. He's what? He's God. God in the flesh. He died and paid for my sins, all of them. He did what? That's why I'm going to heaven. I know it because it's not of me. It's all of him. Watch this. Daniel decided to observe to do. Watch me. Daniel decided to observe to do. Daniel obeyed God consistently. Let's go back to Daniel 6 here. The first couple of verses, we saw that Daniel was promoted. He was supposed to be a president, not only the one of the three presidents, but the top guy. And, of course, the guys the other guys didn't like it. Verse 4. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Same old dirty politics that we see over today. I don't want him to win. We got to find some dirt on him somewhere. That's all he's doing. Got to find some dirt on him. And I'm going to see if we can get more dirt on him than he can find on us, and we'll be okay. We'll get the job. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. So in other words, my guess is they dug back there. They wanted to catch something on him. Even if it was something that a long time ago, but they couldn't find anything. Verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So he was doing the will of God consistently. But also, they knew that he was going to do the law, so we got to make the law unlawful. Because they knew, even when the law was unlawful, he was still going to keep the law. When the Bible becomes out of date, when it becomes illegal to read portions of it, where's this church going to stand? The day will come. It's already in other parts of the country they're trying to fight, in other countries. Our president wants us to be, he keeps saying, well, we don't have this like the rest of the world. We don't have this like the rest of the world. I don't want to be like the rest of the world. This is the greatest nation in all the world. I want it to be like that. If we start becoming like that, we're going to have the same problems they have. When it becomes illegal to stand for the word of God, we're still going to stand. Whew. Daniel decided to do the law, the Decalogue. That's what that word means, distinctly. Daniel followed the law of God. So then these men, we said, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So these men knew that Daniel would not go against the law of God. You hear me? He knew they would not go against the law of God. Is that your testimony? I don't know. You can accuse him all you want. Well, I do know this. If it's in the law, if it's in the law of God, he's not going against it. Now, excuse the personal example. When I was in fifth grade, we were lining up to go to lunch, and a kid came to the door and said, Miss Amasi, that was her name. I thought she was sweet. She was about 23 years old, and she was my teacher, and she was pretty, and she was from, Coriopolis, Pennsylvania. And anyway, the kid came to the door and said, the principal wants to see Sterling Walsh. Well, I must have turned three shades of green, because I'd never been to the principal's office in my life. And she looked at me, and I guess I just looked scared to death. She says, oh, Sterling, you'll be fine. You didn't do anything. I'm glad that she could look at me and say, Sterling, I don't know what it is, but I can't imagine you're guilty. Now, I got into the principal's office, and some kid accused me of stealing his hearing aid. These were a couple kids that kind of always, they rode on the same bus that I did, but they got I was the last stop, and they saw us, and be honest with you, they were poor as church mice, as the old saying goes, and we lived in a nice house. We did. We lived in a nice house, and I don't know whether that was part of it or whatever. But for some reason, they were younger than me, but they liked to pick on me. And it was these three boys. And I just, you know, I'm not here to hurt anybody. So I just, you know, we just did it. Well, one day we got off the bus, and I'm walking into the school, and one of them jumped me from behind. And, of course, I wasn't ready for it, and so I went down the ground, turned around, and here he was, and he's fighting. And be honest with you, he wasn't that big a kid, and I was older than he was. I literally grabbed him kind of around the arms here like that, and I'm flat on my back, but I pushed him up like this. So he's here trying to hit me, but his elbows wouldn't go that far. And so I had a fellow by one of my classmates, whose name was Mike Smith, and Mike came by and said, Mike, would you get him off of me, please? And so he picked him up. Now, while he was like this, his hearing aid was one of those big old things. Remember those things? It was kind of... It had a thing in here, and it kind of was hanging off. Well, when he got done, he put that thing back on his ear, and away he went. Well, about a week and a half later is when I found myself in the principal's office. Well, apparently that the boy had been out on the playground and lost it. And he wasn't about to tell Dad that he lost it. But he kind of, so he made up the story that I took it, ran around to the back of the school and threw it over the fence. He knew exactly where it was. I had no idea. And so when I went in there and I the Board of Education was there. I mean, he must have been 10 foot tall. He was a tall man, but just looked huge. I looked so stern. Young man, what did you do with his hearing aid? Didn't say, did you do it? What did you do with it? I didn't do it. I don't want his hearing aid. And his father, and the father, well, I don't care what you do with it. Just get it. We need to have it. We can't afford to buy a new one. Well, I don't know where it is. And it was all said and done. The Board of Education called my mom and dad, and they said, well, we found a hearing aid. The boys seemed to know exactly where it was. We sent some boys out there to find it. And he says, your son's story never changed. It was the same thing. Every time he came back, and we asked questions from different points of view, and says, his story never changed, so we're just going to assume he was innocent. Now, I'm just saying, you do right and stay right, good chance are you're not going to get accused of doing wrong. If you are accused, you got some running, what was it? You got a head start on their faith in you. So the only way to make it look like Daniel was doing wrong was to make what Daniel was doing illegal. They had to make right wrong. Now we need to decide that we're going to do right according to the Word of God, even if it kills us. Literally. I'm talking serious here. You want God. We want God to stand up for us, but we're not afraid. We're afraid to stand up for Him. When it gets a little hot, it gets a little pressure, it gets a little difficult, we say, well, He never expected me to do that. God wants me to be happy. Sure He does. And He's going to give you joy on top of it, but it comes when you keep His word. We do wrong, we get a little further in trouble, and we have to lie about that, and we get in more trouble. We're going the wrong direction. You might have some temporary relief, but I tell you what, the heat's coming. Watch. True, it is better to die obeying God than to live in disobedience to God. I'm dead serious. True obedience, watch me though. True obedience is going to be noticed by others just like a light in the darkness. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Folks who have been walking in the dark, watch these guys here, they noticed what he was doing. They saw that he walked in the light. And you know what? They didn't like it. Every once in a while, you know, we'll get up early to go on a trip. My guess is you missionaries have done that. You got to hit the road early. And so you get up and it's still dark and you flip that light on. Oh, my soul. You know why? You've been walking in the dark so long, the light hurts. And when you shine the light of Christ in your life, you say, well, I wasn't doing anything wrong. Daniel wasn't doing anything wrong. He was doing right. But it hurt those who walk in the dark. They can't take the light. I can't tell you. I mean, I've had folks in my office. You tell them light and they get mad at you. But they've been walking in the dark so long. So when you give them light, it's like, so, you know, sometimes I'll be honest with you, I'm awful. I'm sometimes a little rough. I'll turn the flood lights on. They're walking in darkness and I'll just turn it all on. They're going, I can't take it. And sometimes what you do is turn a little bit of light on. By the way, though, God, if you walk in the light that God gives you, He'll give you more light. But if you refuse the light that He gives you, don't expect more light. Now, but if you obey God regularly, others are going to know it. And these guys knew it. Let me give you number two. Daniel's way had been made to prosper, and he had experienced good success. It's setting up a story here. It's setting up the account, the record. This book of law shall not depart out of their mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, Daniel is not in a good situation. Daniel was taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel had seen some probably very bad, wicked things happen. Daniel's in the middle of a heathen culture. Daniel's going to public schools. He's right in the middle of the politics. Daniel was right there in the midst, but yet Daniel prospered because he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. Listen, we are in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. Obey, watch though. Daniel's way had been made to prosper, and he had experienced good success. Obeying God brings blessings, even in difficult situations. See, we're saying, well, you know, we can't have revival because this is the way the society is. That's a lie. That's a lie. We can have good success. We can prosper on our way. God can take care of you even amidst of a terrible situation if we will decide to purpose in our heart not to defile ourselves against the Word of God, but to do whatever He tells us to do, to observe, to do according to all. Now, and when you mess up, confess it, and you're back to square one, clean slate again. It's amazing how God will do that. Watch me. It says, and over these three presidents, verse 2, whom Daniel was first, the princes gave, and then Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes. Why? Because he had an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. There was no error found. He was faithful. He did what God had told him to do. Daniel still had a good spirit because God was with him, not because of his situation. That's another thing. Well, I can't be nice because you don't know what happened to me today. Well, you don't know what happened to me today. You know what happened to that person. You know what happened to the guy who railed on you that made you upset. You don't know. You don't know. Well, I can't do this because of my circumstances. Oh, I'm sorry, that's right. Circumstances are bigger than God. No. God was with Daniel, watch me, because Daniel was with God. God was with Daniel because Daniel walked with God. God's not going to go down the muck and the mire with you. He's there to pull you out if you need it. Confess and forsake, you went down the muck and the mire all by yourself, and He knows if you're really being real about it, and He'll grab your hand and pull you back out. He can, although He might take a little bit till He cleans you up just so you remember. Don't go down there anymore. He might not clean the scar right away, so you remember. Don't do that anymore. But God was with Daniel because Daniel was with God. And because Daniel was with God, Daniel was promoted. He was a kid, one of the bunch that came from the captivity from Jerusalem. That's all he was. But he was promoted. Daniel was well cared for. Daniel was protected by the kingdom. And when the kingdom turned against him, God protected him supernaturally, which is what we found in the lion's den. Obeying God, and watch this though, obeying God does not eliminate all your problems. In fact, obeying God may cause some of your problems. He was preferred, so then the other guys got jealous. He was blessed, so it felt like he had to get rid of him. Watch it, listen. The only way the others could accuse Daniel of doing wrong was make right illegal. But watch me. 2 Timothy 3:10 says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch," of course, Paul talking, "at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecution I endured, but out of them all the Lord deliver me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Well, that's bad. But God is in it. And when he comforts you with all comfort, he gives you something to help somebody else. The whole purpose is so that we can see God, see the glory of God, not the glory of me. Well, you know, he won't give us anything more than we can handle through him. I don't understand this. I just can't handle this. But he said he wouldn't give us any more than he can handle. Read the book. It's nothing more than you can handle when you give it to God. He wants it more than you can handle. He wants to throw you in the lion's den, so when he shuts the lions up, we know who did it. Huh? We don't want to know we did it. We don't. Others don't need to think that I did it. The point is, God did it. It's supposed to be out of hand. It's supposed to be crazy. If it made sense, it wouldn't take faith. But because it doesn't make sense, it takes faith, and then we see God did it. Number three, Daniel continued to obey God even when obedience was outlawed. He continued to obey God even when he knew that obeying God was going to get him into trouble. He said, well, aren't you supposed to obey the powers that be? Okay, that's true. But you obey God rather than man. There's some things in our building back here. And our project manager has said, you know, there's a lot of things that they do because they don't expect they expect people. It's all the government regulations and all this, you know, codes and so forth, because they expect the people to be slackers. So they up the ante, so when they're slack, they're probably still in good shape. You know what I'm saying? So he says, there's a lot of stuff in here is overkill. A lot of things we got to do we probably shouldn't have to do. But the fact is, it's a better building. It is. It's a better building. Well, we shouldn't have to pay it. Why should God put those people in place? Right? And whose money are we using to build the building? God's money. So if he wants to pay a little extra, that's his problem. Right? He's going to give somebody the money so we can give it to here so we can pay the bill. You say, I'm trying to be as good steward as I can. If we can buy, if there's anything that's unnecessary and ridiculous and we can get rid of it, sure, we'll get rid of it. We're not putting in gold leaf. You know, we're not going to put in a $35,000 organ or something in there, or a $350,000 organ. We're not going to blow a lot of money putting this building together. But the fact is, if we're required to do it, God knew it was his fault. He put the guy in place. And if he doesn't want to supersede it, which he did, by the way, a few things in the township, he said, well, you got down there, and the guy said, well, you don't need to do that. We don't need to do that. We don't need to do that. We don't need to do that. Saved us thousands of dollars. Well, he had his hand in there. But there's some things he's going to make us do. But the fact is, it'll be a little better building down there for Lighthouse, and it'll be all right. So, well, how are we going to afford it? I don't know. It's his problem. He told us to build it. We're doing it on his tithes. He wants to spend his money. Let him spend his money. So, well, we could be doing other things with the money. I know, but he wants us to trust him. We got to obey God, even if obeying God means obeying somebody we don't like, as long as it's not going against the word of God. Not immoral, you know, illegal. But wait a minute, here it is illegal. Well, now the man has said that God's law should be in submission to man's law. Now we're drawing a different line here. If we stop obeying when obeying causes issues, we're also going to stop prospering. And that's what's happening to our country. We've been running on the momentum. But we're running uphill. And momentum's going to slow down. And by the way, do you ever notice when something starts slowing down, it starts slowing down faster and faster? And the slowing down becomes faster and faster? Man, you see where we are. God continued to make Daniel's way to prosper. And he continued to have good success even in the midst of the persecution, because Daniel continued to observe to do all that was written in the law. Look at chapter 6, verse 10. Hang tight with me. We need to know this whole thing here. Verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew, okay, let me go back to verse 6 here. Then these presidents and princes assembled together unto the king and said unto him, unto king, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute. Boy, they're laying it on thick. And to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, king, he shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. So that sounds pretty good. Well, I'm a pretty good guy here. So they laid it on thick. He said, you know what? I'm going to be God. I will care for the kingdom for 30 days. Couldn't do it much longer than that. Can't afford it. But for 30 days, I can be God. Verse 10. Now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Read those last four words. As he did aforetime. He didn't make a point. He didn't go out and protest. He just did what he was supposed to be doing all along and had been doing all along. Boy, Christians get, boy, all of a sudden you attack my Christianity. We get real pious. You know what? Maybe if we had just been pious all along, we wouldn't have this problem. Verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They were looking for him. They went looking for him. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. And that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of the king, shall be cast into the lion's den. And the king answered and said, This the thing is true, according to the law of Medes and Persians. That's right, which altered not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, and that's, see how the indignity there, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee. He doesn't care what you say, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. He's doing what he wants. He doesn't care what you do. He's going against your law. Modern day. We ought to be allowed to kill babies. How dare anybody tell us this is woman's health care? We ought to be allowed to kill babies. And then we stand time. Now we care for all the children. We care for all the children. If they can make their way out of the womb before they're killed. Excuse me. Have their brain sucked out and torn limb from limb. But we care about the children. Then the king, which he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. He knew who Daniel was. He knew Daniel didn't mean that. He was sent to the principal's office and says, wait a minute, you didn't do anything wrong. Couldn't have. And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and the labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Figured it. So I said, there's got to be a way around this thing. There's got to be a loophole. There's got to be something that we can get out of this thing here. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Don't you go find a loophole. These guys that schmoozed him before getting to write this thing is now saying, telling him what to do. Verse 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. The king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, watch, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. I've seen him do it before. He will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of the Lord's, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music. He said, I'm not going to party here tonight. We got a man in a den of lions, and he shouldn't be there. And his sleep went from him. Verse 19, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. Well, under Daniel, the king spake and said, Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever.
My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. He did right because God said to do right, and he left the consequences to God. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm meat. I'm dinner for the kitty cats. But that's what I got to do, because I'm not going against the law of God, because I've already purposed in my heart I'm not going to. Some people need to get a hold of this. Your life would change. Well, you've always had an easy life. Everything seemed to go well with you. That's why you can please God. I have tried to please God all my life. And that's why he's taking care of me. That's why I can come out. Listen, there's so many times you fall off the roof and somehow like a cat, you land on your feet. I'll tell you why. Because God turns around and puts you on your feet. We're all complaining. Well, they had it easy. They had it easy. Have you done the word of God? Observe to do all that is written therein, for then thou shalt have, make thy way prosper. Then thou shalt have good success. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Take that to the bank. Watch this. He goes on and said, he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. We're going to see that in a minute. I know we're getting late here. You've got to hang tight with me. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. You may not have a brand new Cadillac, but you're not going to be desolate. We cannot turn on our obedience when it looks like problems are headed our way, and then turn the obedience back off when it looks like we're all going smooth sailing and we don't want all the law controlling our life and stealing our fun and freedom to do as we see fit. You don't turn on obedience on and off. He says, you obeyed your God continually. Listen, when we turn it on and turn it off, that's not practicing the promise. We have allowed the book of the law to depart out of our mouths, and thus our observance of the law is sporadic. Let me give you number four. I got to hurry up here. Daniel had claimed the guarantee, even though it appeared that the rest of the people of God around him didn't. Where's everybody else? The decree was a whole kingdom. Where's everybody else? Why is Daniel the only one in trouble? Partly because it was a setup against Daniel, but no one else appears to be obviously and consistently praying to God, or they would have been charged. Why does this principle seem so foreign to us? Why are there not more people enjoying the guarantee? Because there are very few that are willing to claim the guarantee. Daniel 6:26 says, this is the God of Daniel. At the end of the chapter, who's your God? Number five, real quick. Those that trusted in man and in the position and in their own intellect did not prosper. Look at verse 24. So Daniel's been let loose. Look at verse 20. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and watch, and break all their bones. I heard about that in Psalm just a second ago. In pieces, wherever they came at the bottom of the den. They didn't prosper. Notice that when the parents refused to do the law distinctly, it hurts the rest of the family. The wife, the kids, a whole bunch of them. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit with him, Proverbs 26 says.
When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. That's what was going on these men. Whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Everybody knew now what those men were trying to do against Daniel. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone shall return upon him. See, we want Daniel to say, well, Daniel should have done so-and-so and so-and-so and got out of that. No, he obeyed God. Let God do the work. If Daniel had not been willing to obey God, in spite of the fact that it appeared it would cost him his life, God would have never been seen for what he is. Verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, languages, and dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever. And his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered. He prospered in the reign of Darius. And in the reign of Cyrus the Persian that is to come. You know what old Darius just said? He just said everybody should realize who was the real God because of one man named Daniel who decided to purpose in his heart to do according to all that's written therein. Because then he made his way prosperous and then he has good success. What would happen if real live Christians all across America decided, I'm going to live for God, whether it kills me or not. Can you imagine what that would do? I'll tell you what. You might even have Hillary Clinton saying, God's God, Jehovah is the Lord. Meantime, Donald Trump's making a golden idol. But anyway, I'm not endorsing anybody. Watch. What am I saying? Daniel had no other God before him. Government was not his God. Political correctness was not his God. His provider was God. His protector was God. His perspective, his philosophy was God. What was Daniel thinking when he decided to pray three times a day after the king had made his decree? I'm going to obey God. Daniel could have turned his back on this most any time, and no one would have blamed him. And even Christians, well, it's okay, we all do it, it's all right. And then we salve ourselves, and look where we are. We wonder why we're not prospering. Very few in this society, including church members across America, would have blamed him for giving in. But Daniel prospered in an unfortunate situation. Daniel prospered while not being politically correct. Daniel prospered even though he was living contrary to the society and contrary to society's beliefs. Daniel prospered even though he lived contrary to normal and accepted worldviews. Daniel prospered even though he lived contrary to accepted practices and political opinion. He prospered in the midst of persecution. He prospered in a heathen society. Daniel prospered as a small minority. Sorry this, but God trumps all. Are you willing to practice the formula and claim the guarantee? My name is Sterling Walsh, and I approve this message. Now, don't forget it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. Lord, if we would just stand on your word, Lord. Give us when we get scared, we turn back, we think you can't handle it. Lord, we know that you're God. You're the God of all God. You're the only God, the only wise God, the one of all power, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, eternal, immutable. Lord, you're our God, and yet we walk away from you. Lord, forgive us. Lord, may we lift up. Maybe, I don't know. If you can do it out of one guy named Daniel, what could happen if you did it out of the 225 that's in this room here this morning? May we live for you, determine, or speak to our hearts. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Stand to our feet. Piano's going to play.